A Pinch of Salt by Mildred Downs. All rights reserved. No part of this publication may be reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, transmitted in any form, by any means electronic, mechanical, photocopying, recording, or otherwise without the prior written permission of the publisher and author. Any resemblance to any person, either living or dead, or actual events are a coincidence. Chapter 1. Ellen Hall watched torrents of rain slash across the university parking lot one dreary Monday afternoon and chided herself for leaving her umbrella in the car. She prepared for her sprint to the car by unhooking her bra strap and pulled her blouse free of her white slacks. With one last look around the laboratory, she firmly closed the door behind her. Screwed to that solid fireproof door was a metal plaque bearing the name Professor Ellen Hall, Ph.D. Ellen, a 38-year-old spinster, was an only child who grew up solitary and relied solely upon herself for social and recreational activities. Blonde hair, curvaceous figure, and the absence of a ring on the taken finger drew the notice of many, but her haughty countenance and owlish stare through large round glasses kept the vast majority of suitors at arm's length. The more persistent, all proved to be lacking in subtle but important peculiarities. While brilliant, eccentric, and did not suffer fools, Ellen was enthusiastic about sharing her life with the right person. At this point, their gender not an issue. Outside of the laboratory and classroom, she was generally left alone, but professionally was highly regarded. This depressing state of affairs may have persisted, except that Ellen provoked the gods to laughter, and in response, they meddled. Earlier in the day, an improbable black-humored scene involved Dr. Hall, as she stood in the cafeteria line buying her morning cinnamon bagel and tea. The comedy involved the preserved head of an executed mass murderer and a contract worker cleaning the building's sub-cellar for a large computer installation. A murderer's decapitated head, stored in a whole brain collection, was ensconced, presumably for all time, in a white enamel stewpot, the lid affixed with ancient masking tape. To Ellen's right, a nondescript gentleman in a cardigan sweater was adding milk to his coffee when a soul-curdling scream erupted from a nearby stairwell. While she stared into the coffee drinker's blue eyes, he was instantly displaced by a horror-struck man holding an empty white pot stinking of formaldehyde. Ellen listened to his nightmare tale of a severed head falling on the floor and then trying to gnaw at his ankles as he fled to safety. The man in the cardigan sweater left hurriedly during the chaotic scene, so Ellen paid for his abandoned drink and left it with the cashier upon his return. Security soon had the uproar under control, but no head was found, publicly or officially. As Ellen tapped her ceramic key on the lab's electronic lock and turned towards the elevator, she found the blue-eyed coffee drinker standing quietly before her. He was holding a cardboard box under one arm and looked alarmingly innocent. After a knowing look, she asked, "Does that box need a home tonight, driver?" "John Spar, and yes it does, if you please, Dr. Hall," he said with a twinkle in his eyes. Her urge to pee disappeared, replaced with a crick in her neck. As she reopened the lab, Ellen noted John's scent, thoroughly male but with a subtle damp acrid smell, an intimate and lovely odor in her opinion. In moments they decided to place the box, with suitable cautions attached, under the glass hood, a vented workstation used when an experiment involved dangerous chemicals and the like, essentially hidden in plain sight. The content of the box was never mentioned, but it was delightfully plain they were on the same page. His offer of supper delighted her and was accepted promptly with a smile. In those few moments of physical closeness, each thought they detected a well-loved aroma, a hint of urine, and agreed to meet at a nearby restaurant to test the waters. Ellen was aware that Dr. John Spar